Morning Watch, Living and Serving According to God's Economy Concerning the Church, Week 4, A Proper Prayer Life for a Proper Church Life, Monday, Related Verses, 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 2 and 3. I exhort, therefore, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. On behalf of kings and all who are in high position, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all godliness and gravity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior God. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. This charge I commit to you, my child Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you might war the good warfare. 1 Samuel 12, verse 23. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I would sin against Jehovah by ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in the good and right way. Colossians 1, verse 9. Therefore we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease praying and asking on your behalf that you may be filled with the full knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Romans 1, verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of His Son, how unceasingly I make mention of you always in my prayers. Nehemiah 1, verse 11a. I beseech you, O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who take delight in fearing your name. Related reading. If we would have a proper church life, we must first have a prayer life. The leading ones, those who minister the word in the church, should take the lead to have such a prayer life. A prayer ministry is a prerequisite for the administration and shepherding of a local church. Thus, Paul exhorts Timothy that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. This is the first word concerning the positive aspect of the church life that Paul gives after speaking of God's economy and after charging Timothy to war the good warfare for God's economy. Timothy had to take the lead to have a prayer life. A prerequisite for having a proper church life in the Lord's recovery today is to have a prayer life. A proper church is a praying church. A church that is without prayer is pitiful. All in the Lord's recovery must be prayerful and stand against the sin of prayerlessness. The elders in the churches must take up Paul's charge to, first of all, pray. Whenever we hear some news, good or bad, concerning a particular church, we should pray. Do not discuss the situation, do not gossip about it, and do not criticize. Just pray. Likewise, if you hear something about a saint or about an elder, pray. If we exercise ourselves to have a prayer life, the church will be living and uplifted. If some would be today's Timothys to take the lead to pray, the others will follow. This can be illustrated by the way a flock of sheep follows the few who take the lead. Instead of talking so much and even instead of working so much, we should pray more. Should you hear that a saint is weak or backsliding, do not talk about that person and do not criticize him. Moreover, do not immediately go to visit him. Instead, pray for him. Whether or not you should visit him depends on the Lord's leading. Do not do anything presumptuously. If the Lord does not lead you to visit a backsliding saint, you should not visit him on your own. It is possible that even in visiting the saints, we may be presumptuous. But if through our prayer, the Lord definitely leads us to visit a certain one, that visitation will be effective. We should also pray whenever we hear of problems among the saints. We should not presume that we are experienced and qualified to solve problems. If we learn about a problem between brothers, we should bring this matter to the Lord in our prayer. The first thing the elders should do in caring for the church is pray. Do not make decisions without praying. Do not either criticize someone or praise him without first praying for him. Before doing anything, we need to pray. Furthermore, our prayers should not be light or superficial. They must be thorough. Only after we have prayed for a matter thoroughly should we make a decision concerning it, not by ourselves independently, but in oneness with the Lord and according to his leading. If the elders practice in this way, the church life in their locality will be uplifted and proper. If we touch Paul's spirit in 1 Timothy 2 verses 1 through 7, we will sense his burden that those who take the lead in the church life must have a prayer life. In these verses, Paul seems to be telling Timothy, "I have shown you a clear picture of God's economy and how it is versus different teachings. I have also pointed out to you that in his mercy, the Lord has made me a pattern of his economy. I have also charged you solemnly to war the good warfare on behalf of God's economy. Now deep in my spirit is the burden to exhort you to pray. I exhort that petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Do not think that teaching comes before prayer. No, prayer must be first and teaching second."